Welcome to the Viking Update Show. I'm Jim Suhan. I just got back from Cincinnati. John Krasinski was watching the game from home. We've both been covering the team off and on for decades. I mean, many decades. One of us is old. The other is getting there. Let's start today. Look, not everything that happened in Cincinnati was bad. So I want to review all the positive stuff just to be different from everybody else. We're going to review all the positive stuff. And then, you know, about 20 seconds from now, then we'll get to the negative stuff. Okay, so seriously, let's just do it just to be different, yeah. Just to have some fun. Osborne looked really good.
He did.
I was impressed by him. Conklin looked really good. He's going to be really tired by the end of the year. He's our number one blocking tight end. He's our number one receiving tight end. And I don't think Herndon knows the plays yet. And he might not ever learn the plays. I thought that the kicker and the punter, this is really weird to say about a Vikings team. The kicker and the punter looked really good. The kick returners looked good. Michael Pierce made some plays. Patrick Peterson, they didn't even want to throw at. Of course, we don't know how good he is yet, but at least they didn't want to try to pick on him the way they did Breland. Adam Thielen and Kirk Cousins still have that magical connection in the red zone. Justin Jefferson was open all day. All right, I'm out. You got anything?
Well, hey, but I mean, I think that this is a good way to start, right? Because it is everyone's kind of, you know, knee-jerk reaction after a loss in the NFL is to say the sky is totally falling and you're never going to win. You're going 0-16 and life is terrible. I do think that there were some very big concerns that we saw in that game that we will certainly get to here. But the list that you just provided was substantial. And so there were a lot of things that you saw that you can say, okay, there are at least some things to build on and feel good about going forward. In particular, I mean, Greg Joseph, you know, nailing that field goal had to be a huge sigh of relief. Now, he may go 0 for his next three, but that was a super clutch pressure situation, and he drilled it. And that thing was good from 60. Like, that was there was no problem clearing that 53. And right at the end of regulation, when you have not been tested at all in that sort of a situation, for him to step forward, I think that bodes very well for a team that expects to be playing a lot of close games. And so that was my number one very good thing. And the Osborne factor, I think, was the number two thing that I'll double down on for and take away that you listed, because we had no idea what they were going to do for a third receiver option, especially with Irv Smith out. That, I think, is even more important. And yes, Conklin was good as well. But just to see Osborne not only kind of make a lot of the right plays to be in the right spots at the right time, but then to have Kirk Cousins really have some trust and some faith in him in very big moments in the game, I think that says a lot about where KJ Osborne is. And we had been hearing a lot during the preseason, a lot during the summer workouts, the OTAs and things like that, that KJ Osborne had come back an improved player and had really put in the work to do it. You never know how that's going to translate when it gets to the field. It's clear that for him, it did translate into the game. And I think that's a huge, huge thing for the Vikings to have a third guy who can be a threat to take some of that pressure off of Jefferson and Thielen and to give Cousins another place to go with the ball when Irv Smith is not available to them. So both of those things, I think, were extra encouraging for a team that is coming out of this week knowing that they really needed to win that game given the difficulties in their schedule coming up, and to lose that one was really disheartening. But yeah, those things I think need to be said, that yes, there were some good things that came out of this. The sky might be starting to fall, but it isn't completely crumbling in front of them right now.
And now we'll get to, let's call them politely, the trouble areas. We do want to tell you that this is part of the TalkNorth.com podcast network. Thanks to our producer, Brandon Morton. Follow us on Twitter at TalkNorthPod to see all of our shows as they are released. If you hear this in time, we are doing the Cheryl Reeve Show at Pizza Luce downtown Minneapolis, 6 o'clock on Tuesday, September 14th. Stop by if you can. You can even ask us a Viking question, and Cheryl's a big football fan. She'll even answer that. tell you about a new show we have on the network. It's called Raising Your Paws. It's sponsored by Nutrisource. It's great for pet owners. Thank you to the sponsors of this show, BetUS.com. We'll tell you how to use BetUS, and we'll pick some games here later in this show. Thanks to Star Bank. Thanks to Pizza Barn. And let's get to the problems now. And the most obvious problem is also the biggest problem. The offensive line got run over by a fairly average defense.
Yeah, I mean, that was the huge thing. And, you know, we knew, I think, that talent was going to be a question mark for this group heading in, especially with Darisaw not healthy yet, not ready to play. But to me, like, the even bigger red flag outside of the execution, because I do think in some of those cases where Cousins was sacked, he was holding the ball too long and needed to get rid of it. And so you have to factor that into how you grade the offensive line. But the pre-snap penalties, the holding calls, all of the sloppiness, all of the mental errors that this group had, when you have a unit that you know is going to be lacking in the talent department when it goes up against opposing defensive front sevens, they have to absolutely be on point from an execution, from a mental standpoint. They just have to play almost perfectly to have a chance of it going your way. And not only were they not perfect, they were abysmal when it came to technique, when it came to the pre-snap stuff. Like, that's just inexcusable for this group. And I tweeted it, but I do think that part of it is, I think that, you know, there wasn't a lot of preseason snaps for the entire offensive group to play together, so they looked like they were lacking continuity that way. But the other part of it is that you have to factor in that their position coach bailed on them the week before training camp started.
Yeah, that's a great point.
You know, they tried to downplay it and say, well, this isn't a big deal, he's still going to be involved and all of this stuff. But I mean, you know, to kind of lose your leader that way and have that thrown into it, I mean, I have to think that plays somewhat of a role in all of the penalties, in all of the sloppiness that we saw out there. And, you know, it's hard to convince me otherwise that didn't have some sort of a factor in this, because this was a group that was in flux already, that was lacking talent already, and then you go ahead and throw this curveball at them right at the start of training camp. I mean, it should be no surprise that they really were a disjointed, totally kind of lacking chemistry group and made mistakes both physically and mentally all through the game.
They should have made an example of Dennison and fired him, because you can't fire Cousins, you can't fire Thielen, you can't fire Harrison Smith. You can fire Dennison.
That's what I don't know. I mean, whether it's a firing, whether it's I don't know what you do, but maybe there's some contractual things that are there or whatnot. But I think if you ask Mike Zimmer if you ask Mike Zimmer at some point during the offseason, he probably would have been all for it. It sounds like maybe he was talked out of that sort of a decision-making process. But either way, like, these are the kinds of ramifications that you talk about when it's not just a personal choice. Like, it affects your entire team, it affects everyone around you. And we say it for Cousins, we say it for, you know, Dalvin Cook, for anyone else who is not vaccinated, but this clearly was something that Dennison was with the team all throughout the summer, was heavily involved in preparations, in game planning, in coaching, in doing everything that needs to be done. And then lo and behold, right before training camp, he is no longer there. That is a weird, weird situation for any offensive line, let alone one that lacks the talent that that the Vikings do. And so, you know, that it's just throwing more gasoline onto the fire when the fire is already going at a pretty high clip. So I don't think it's totally Dennison's fault. I'm not going to do that whole thing and play that game. But I just think that it had to have factored in some way, shape, or form, because they were just awful from that standpoint. It would have been one thing if they went out there in Cincinnati and they just got beat physically. Like they that Trey Hendrickson and the rest of that group just kind of beat them up and did and had their way with them from a physical standpoint. That's almost forgivable because they are what they are from that aspect. But these guys were making so many mistakes, so many self-inflicted wounds, and part of that is coaching. And you know, and so that has to be factored in when their main guy was no longer in the meetings with them, was limited in the way that he could be involved, and certainly was not on the sidelines with them on game day. That's a big thing.
It is. And they have no depth, and it's not going to get better. And I, you know, what I'm hearing is that Darrisaw's injury, at the very least, is going to limit him and nag him all year. I just don't know if he's going to be a factor this year. You know,
well, that's, Yeah, the troubling thing there, sorry, Jim, was that I read Mark Craig's great interview with Zimmer on Sunday morning, in the Sunday morning Star Tribune. And one thing that really stuck out to me was like he talked about all of the first round picks that have not worked out for him. And he just kind of threw Christian Darrisaw in there already. And it's like, whoa, are we already including him in the Jeff Gladney, Mike Hughes, you know, all of that category? Like that was that, I mean, that stuck out like a sore thumb to me. And so that I would have to believe you, Jim, too, in terms of this looks like something that if he's going to be able to play, maybe this limits him, or maybe this even affects if he's going to be able to play much this season. And so if Zim's already talking about that, that says there's more to this than, you know, he's okay. He's back from the groin injury and now he's ramping up and he'll be fine. I think that there's real concern that he will not be.
You are exactly right. And that is another terrible sign. We have more to get to here. I want to talk big picture about Zimmer and Spielman and Cousins and just the jitteriness, the weirdness around this team right now. But, you know, the cool thing about the NFL is no matter how the local team is faring, you can always bet. You can bet on local teams. You can bet on the NFL. It was a spectacular first weekend. And with betting season back in full force and with the NHL and NBA around the corner, football here, you need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS, BETUS.com. You may already know this, but BetUS has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. That is BetUS.com, and they have loads of bonuses. Join now or call 800-69-BETUS. That is 800-MY-BETUS. You receive 125% sign-up bonus by using the bonus code TNORTH125. TNORTH125, all like it's one word. They have re-up and referral bonuses also, but BetUS is known as America's favorite sports book for a lot of reasons. BetUS has all of your NBA and NHL games with team and player props and loads of NHL futures and NFL odds up already. You can bet UFC matches and props, PGA golf and round matchups, live betting on most sports, including golf. The online casino has hundreds of games, and the racebook has all your horse tracks. They have every bet type imaginable, and the sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. Follow my lead and get your phone, online, and social sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like I did. BetUS, you bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS. Also want to tell you about Star Bank. Have you tried to call your bank lately? Do you bank locally? Star Bank is our bank at the Talk North Podcast Network. They're a family-owned local bank with branches across central and west central Minnesota. With Star Bank, you get all the bells and whistles you would expect from a bank these days, but they have no 800 number, no call center, no confusing phone queue. You can even request your banker's cell phone number. That's how they operate. Star Bank is a true Minnesota family-run business. Check them out at starbank.net. Star Bank is a member FDIC and equal housing lender. So, you know, we could break down that game forever. Be so many in a close NFL game, an overtime game. There are so many pivotal plays and so many pivotal players. Big picture, it really feels like Zimmer at press conferences and with Mark Craig, and when he's answered my question at press conferences, is digging at Spielman and Spielman's drafts and the flaws on this roster. And if Zimmer goes and Spielman stays, I think Zimmer will light him up for a lot of the moves he made. I really think that's coming. You know, we already pretty much know that Zimmer's angry at Cousins for not getting vaccinated. I've heard that Spielman is also angry at Cousins. Of course, he's not the only one, but he's the highly paid quarterback. And then you watch them play, and CJ Ham, one of the smartest, most disciplined veterans on this team, is committing false starts. There's a new first-year offensive coordinator, new offensive line coach. They're not going to go 0-16. We know that. But they might go 0-4 and be out of it really quickly. And there are no good scenarios here unless they just win some surprising games early here.
Right, because, yeah, you're right, Jim, because, you know, we talked right before the season started, and you make your projections on where they might be, and, hey, maybe they get 9 wins, maybe it's 10, maybe it's 7 or 8. But I guarantee you in all of those projections, it was including Cincinnati game week one as one of those wins. Exactly. And so when that doesn't come, now you're even more behind the eight ball. And this is what I kind of said before. I said it last week on this podcast, and I picked the Bengals to win last week on this podcast.
You did. Congratulations.
Big prize coming your way. I'll say it. I chickened out in the Athletic predictions and picked the Vikings by the end of the week, but which I regretted.
Well, John,
when the
Athletic gets to be as big an operation as Talk North, then you can.
Very good point. So yeah. So, but I did. But like, and my main reasoning for it was like, and this sounds kind of wonky. This sounds new agey or whatever, but it just feels like things are off. Right? Yep. It just with the COVID vaccinations, with Dennison, with the Darisaw injury, with Anthony Barr's mystery injury now, with kind of all of the stuff that is swirling around this team. And you and I have been around this organization a very, very long time. And there are just times where you can, I don't know, feel a little vibe. And I'll be honest, like I have only been out to a couple of practices just with the Ben Simmons stuff and a few other commitments. Like I haven't been embedded with the team like I have been a lot before, but I still talk to people. I still make my calls and I still, you know, I'm observing from afar and watching the press conferences, watching the games and things like that. Talking to people I know in the organization. And you can sometimes the hairs on the back of your neck start to stand up. And you look around and you see kind of these things, and these are all the ingredients for a bad season that we saw in the run. But it doesn't mean it can't be overcome. It doesn't mean that for sure they're headed to 4 or 5 wins. But a lot of the garbage that often comes with a season that is underwhelming or disappointing or however you want to describe it, is present on this Vikings team right now. And then they go out and lose to Cincinnati in week one. And it's like the Zimmer season a few years ago where Buffalo came in and just whomped them early. And you say, okay, buckle up here because things are not right. And maybe this is the alarm bell that kind of snaps everyone out of it. Or maybe this is a harbinger of things to come. And that's kind of what I was getting at with my pick of the Bengals last week was just like, I don't feel good about this team. I don't trust it. There's too many things that are going on. It has not been a quiet offseason. They do not look ready. And lo and behold, they get out there and they weren't ready. And let's just say what it is. It was a very close game. It got to overtime. If Zach Taylor does not make that idiot fourth down call, the Bengals are winning going away. Like it's not close. Like he is the one that allowed them, the Vikings, back into it. That's why the call in overtime to make the pass, like that was huge for Zach Taylor because he was going to be the GOAT if they lost that game. So that was essentially gift wrap for the Vikings to get back in it. Otherwise, they were thoroughly outplayed for most of the game. And so now it's getting really tough with Arizona. Chandler Jones might have 10 sacks, you know, coming up next week. So, that's just why I'm nervous about it. Yeah. Just 10. Exactly. But that's just, you know, that's the nervousness that I had going into this season. And all of that was validated from week one.
And even before the game started on Sunday, we already talked about Darisaw, but Darisaw, Barr, and Dantzler, three very significant scratches. Darisaw, because we don't know if he's going to be healthy at all this year. Barr, I'm hearing he might not be healthy at all. He might play, but I don't think he's going to play well or play a lot. And then you have Dantzler, a healthy scratch. Three big red flags.
Big red flags. And let's also be a little bit fair, too, in terms of, you know, we were talking about, you know, Zimmer not being happy with Spielman and some of the moves that he's made. Hey, Zim's had a lot of input on some of these moves. Anthony Barr is here because of Zimmer. True. And, You know, in the draft, I'm sure he was a big Dantzler guy. I'm sure he's a big Gladney guy. Like, you know, he has a say in especially in the defensive backs that get and the defensive players that get drafted onto this team. So while absolutely Spielman deserves scrutiny, especially I think for the offensive line, Garrett Bradbury, boy, man, is that pick looking worse and worse the more that we get into it. And who knows what's going to happen with Darisaw, but certainly Mike Zimmer has held a big influence in who gets added to this roster and who gets paid and all of those things. And so he can definitely cast some stones in some areas in some of the roster decisions, but in some of them, he is, you know, plenty responsible and have his fingerprints all over them as well.
Thanks again to our producer, Brandon Morton. Let's go ahead and go to the BetUS picks of the week. These are our smart bets of the week. Honestly, I didn't keep track whether I did well last week or not. I know I
think I went. I think I went perfect, Jim.
I'm sure you did. Let's just assume every week that you've gone perfect. I know I missed the Vikings game, and you know, given the way the week went, I probably missed a bunch. Well, we are picking these games. You know, we are picking these games to encourage your interest in using BetUS. We're also picking these games because it's a good entry point to talking about the NFL and some of other teams and the Vikings' chances, those things. So let's do the three games this week. Again, go to BetUS.com. The promo code is TeamNorth125. Check it out. And there, even if you want to do like crypto, it's like a 200% bonus, TeamNorth200. So check it out, TNorth 200 or TNorth 125, depending on if you're betting real money or crypto money. Giants at Washington football team Thursday night. Giants, so Washington giving 3.5 points. That's a really interesting pick with Washington play its backup quarterback, the famous Tyler Heinicke.
Yeah, and this is like the Thursday night football in a nutshell, right, Jim? Like, yeah. They always get these garbage games, you know, Washington and Giants. I think I'm going to go this is a hard one because you're right, because I believe in Heinicke. I'm going to say it. I'm going to ride the Heinicke train. I'm going Washington. I don't like either of these teams. I think they both looked pretty shoddy in the first week, but I think Washington's defense might be just a little bit better, and so that's going to get them over the hump in this game.
I agree with everything you just said. But the fact that they are two good defensive teams playing on a short week, and I don't know how effective Barkley's going to be, and I don't know how quickly Heinicke can really get up to speed. I think it's going to be close. So even though I would pick Washington to win, I don't want to give away points. I will take the Giants to at least keep it close. We'll see who's right about that one. Bengals at Bears, we're going to do an NFC North one, and we also do the Jeff Diamond show later in the week, and we pick games there as well. We pick different games on that one. Because BetUS also sponsors that show. Jeff Diamond, of course, the former Vikings general manager and president of the Tennessee Titans, and that is Jeff's show on the network. Bengals at Bears, Bears giving 3 points.
Bears giving three. I'm going to take the Bengals. I guess it depends a little bit on Burrow. I mean, he looked like he was a little hobbled toward the end of the game, but I think that the Bengals looked halfway decent against the Vikings. I mean, I like the way that Burrow looked in the passing game. Mixon was really, really running the ball well. Their defense was kind of feisty, and I don't think that the Bears really scare me in terms of offensively. You know, we'll see what the defensively, they just really did not play well against, even though I like the Rams a lot and I picked them to go to the Super Bowl, still 34-14 did not look good for the Bears on Sunday night. So I'm taking the Bengals to win in that game, and I'm not even worrying about the points.
I agree with you. I don't think Dalton will play well. I don't think the Bears defense is what it used to be. And the Bears and the Vikings very well could be in a dogfight for a, you know, well, who knows what's going to happen in this division now, but we can talk more about that next week. But yeah, the thing I liked about Burrow, it looked like the first couple of series, they were kind of being very careful with him, very conservative. And then they started opening it up. And the more they opened it up, the better he played.
Made some really nice throws.
I really like him. And if Ja'Marr Chase is going to be a deep threat that he didn't have last year, I don't think they're going to be great, but I think they could be difficult to play against, and I think the Bears are a mess. So I'm going to go with the Bengals as well. Vikings at Arizona. Arizona giving 4 points. I think I know how we're both picking.
Yeah, I just can't. You know, this. I guess this would be a classic NFL game where, you know, it's so obvious that Arizona just walks in this game. So maybe the Vikings go down and win somehow. But I just, you know, maybe Dalvin Cook has an enormous game and they can do it. But after week one, I don't see how you look at that. I mean, the Cardinals look legit. Kyler Murray looks great. Chandler Jones looks like Lawrence Taylor. And they just really, I was high on them this season just because I really like Kyler Murray. But I think they look even better. DeAndre Hopkins, like the whole crew. I don't think it's going to be a happy homecoming for Patrick Peterson. I think the Cardinals win easily in this one.
I agree with you. We'll break this game down next week and preview the game three against Seattle, which will also be fascinating. I think that NFC West is going to be a great division to watch all year. Who knows? Maybe the NFC North will be too. Right now, everybody's tied for first. We'll be back next week. Let's get a final thought from John. Once again, thank you to our producer, Brandon Morton. Thank you for listening to TalkNorth.com. Thank you to our sponsors. And we will be back next week. John, send us out with a final thought.
Well, you know, we started this thing on a good note for the Vikings fans. Let's end it on a good note for the Vikings fans. It was ugly in Cincinnati. It was terrible. It did not look great at all. There are a lot of things to worry about. But hey, here's one thing for every Vikings fan to feel great about. Saints 38, Packers 3. So as much hand-wringing is going on right now in the Twin Cities, I guarantee there's more of it in Green Bay and Milwaukee and across Wisconsin because the Packers looked terrible. And Jameis Winston looked great. And so feel good about that at least, Vikings fans. At least for 1 week, you are not as bad as the Packers were.
And in the Tuesday Star Tribune, I have a column to that effect. I hope you enjoy that as well. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.